Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one quality that is deeply ingrained in our fallen human nature is that we tend to care far too much what other people think of us. We all want acceptance and approval. And that has long been a special difficulty for Christians because this fallen world has never been comfortable with the ways of Christ or with those who embrace his ways. In the year 64 AD, Rome was devastated by a fire that took 6 days to bring under control. At the time, many people believed that the emperor himself, Nero, was responsible for starting the fire. So Nero looked for someone else he could blame. He chose the Christians. And he chose to punish the Christians by having them killed, including many whom he had crucified, nailed to crosses, and some whom he had burned alive at night as so-called human torches. And why did Nero choose Christians as his scapegoat? Because he knew the people would accept it. Not long after the Great Fire of Rome, the Roman historian Tacitus said that Nero had chosen to falsely accuse the Christians because Christians were so widely hated. Tacitus didn't say why the Christians were widely hated, but based on other writings from that time, we do have a pretty good idea why it was. In Roman society at that time, nearly all social activities, civic festivals, the theater, you name it, nearly all social activities involved some element of pagan worship. Holidays were celebrated mainly at pagan temples. Civic events and sporting events typically included prayers to various gods and goddesses. And so Christians often felt compelled by their conscience to stay away from those community activities. And that produced resentment among their non-Christian neighbors. More broadly, Christians would not simply endorse and go along with all the ways of the world, and the world resented that. So Christians were widely resented, and that showed in how the Christians were then spoken about and how they were treated. In some places, it was difficult enough, even dangerous enough, to be known as a Christian, that Christians began using subtle signs like the fish symbol to identify themselves to each other without drawing too much attention from others. Well, thank goodness things have changed. Right? Maybe not as much as we'd wish they'd changed. To offer just one small example of how this problem continues, not long ago, the wife of a Baptist pastor in Colorado died of cancer, and her family wanted the engraving on her tombstone to include the Christian fish symbol with the word Jesus written inside the fish. But the public cemetery said that that would not be allowed because that might offend people. And that's just one small illustration. We could give many more, and many with more serious consequences. That's just one small illustration of what has been seen time and time again, that faithfulness to Jesus generally does not gain you popularity or even acceptance with the world. It was true at the time of Nero. We're seeing more and more reminders that it's true today. And it was also true at the time the New Testament was written, which can help us better understand and appreciate what we hear in today's epistle reading from 1 John. John wrote this inspired letter at a time when many Christians were experiencing rejection and persecution from their neighbors. And he wrote this letter to a particular group of Christians who had even seen many members of their own church give in and walk away from the church. It was in that time when so many of their neighbors were looking down on them But John wrote to this group of Christians and reminded them of how God sees them. Their neighbors might say that they are worthless, maybe even expendable. But what does God say about them? John writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." To Christians who are feeling beaten down and rejected by their neighbors and the world, God says essentially, don't worry about what the world says. Don't worry about what anyone else says about you. Here is what you need to know. You are my children, and I love you. The unbelieving world might leave Christians feeling left out in the cold, but see what kind of love the Father has given us, that he reached out to us, brought us into his own family, and calls us his own. The world might have little regard for those who seek to follow Christ and his ways, but see what kind of love the Father has given us, that he calls us his own beloved children. When we were lost in sins and trespasses and had nothing to offer God, God showed his great love for us by graciously choosing us to be his. He showed the depth of his love for us by sending his only begotten Son to pay our redemption price on the cross. And then he embraced us in his love as he sealed our adoption in the waters of holy baptism, where he took us in as his own beloved children, children of the Heavenly Father. The world might dismiss Christians because we won't just go along with its ways. And we might sometimes find it easy to question or dismiss ourselves as we grow discouraged by our sins and see the ways that we do so often go along with the world's ways. But what we are being told here is that our sins don't define us, and our worth is not defined by this world. But our identity is found not in what the world says about us, and not even in how we feel about ourselves, but in what God says about us. And what does God say about us? In his great love, he calls us his children. And by God's grace, that is what we are. So if that's how special we are to the Lord, why does the world still see us as nothing special? John answers that question in our epistle reading as he says, "The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." In other words, the reason that the world does not recognize us, God's adopted sons and daughters, is that it did not recognize and does not recognize Jesus, God's only begotten Son. Here, John is teaching us what he had earlier been taught by Jesus himself. In the 15th chapter of John, we read that on Jesus' last night with his disciples before his arrest and crucifixion, Jesus said this to them to prepare them for what he knew was coming, and particularly for how he knew the world would treat them as his followers. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. So if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." And just as Jesus said it would be, so it has been. From the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, around 35 AD, to Nero's killing of the Christians in Rome about 30 years after that, down through the centuries, as an estimated 70 million Christians have been martyred since the time of Christ, to 2 weeks ago, in Holy Week, as several Christian churches in India were violently attacked. One pastor was brutally attacked with an axe and is still hospitalized in critical care. To this last Wednesday, when 9 Christians in Kenya were brutally attacked and beaten as they came out of a prayer meeting. So it has been, and so it continues. But we are assured in our epistle reading that it will not always be this way. That's the next point John makes in our reading, as he says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So, having assured us of God's great love for us, that we are the children of God, and having then explained that the reason the world does not recognize us for who we are is that it does not recognize Jesus for who he is, John now promises us that it will not always be that way. A time will come, he says, when at last everything will be made clear. Christ will be revealed in glory, and the people of Christ will be revealed as God's beloved children, which we have been all along. As John says, we don't know exactly what that day will be like or exactly what we will be like that day. But we do know that we will at last see Jesus face to face and that we will be in glory just as he is in glory. Because Jesus took away our sins on the cross, we will appear before him without sin, pure and holy. Because Jesus rose from the dead to conquer the grave for us, we will be raised up imperishable before him. Because of all that Jesus has done for us, we will find the Father eagerly acknowledging us as his beloved children and welcoming us to his home. And we can be assured now that all of that is ours, because we know even now that we have the only approval that really matters. By God's grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, you have right now God's own acceptance, his approval, his undying love. The love that he has lavished on us in calling us his children, and so we are. May we find daily comfort and encouragement in that good news as we now enjoy the privilege of living as God's own beloved children and as we reach out to show the world what our Father is like and what his extraordinary love is like. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.